Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always, always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know about once a month we have what we call a Bible Talk team join the show, three author speaker friends who just, we get it, it's like a roundtable discussion. And you know that first question I ask at the open of every single show, every single day, what's God been talking to you about? Well, we kind of are devoting a whole show to that. So these friends get around the table and I ask them each, what's God talking to you about? And then we just have a conversation about it and we just see where God leads us. Super excited about that. My Bible Talk team is Andy Andrew, Irene Rollins, and Carolyn Haas. Irene is out today, but we'll have enough firepower to go around. So you just trust me on that one. Quick announcement first. You may have been hearing about it, but if not, you got to know, because we'd love your prayers. Our one day, end of year fundraiser coming up November 28th, about a week and a half from now. Would you be praying for us that we will finish the year strong? And we know so many of you have already given, so we just bless you. We say thank you with all of our hearts. But there are hundreds of thousands also that listen, have maybe never given. Would you prayerfully consider sowing a seed in and through this ministry? Be praying for us as we head into this day. There's always warfare around it, but it's always an amazing time as well as we cast a vision for where God's taking us. So be praying. We sure appreciate it. Now, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Andy Andrews, the author of She Is Free, Fake or Follower, and Friendship, It's Complicated. She's the podcast host for Coffee with Andy. She's a passionate preacher who loves to see the fullness of Jesus Christ worked out practically and powerfully in everyday lives. Based in Charleston, South Carolina, and Andy's life is currently focused on raising her four kids, writing, and investing in local churches and lives around the world. Carolyn Haas is co-lead pastor of Substance Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She and her husband Peter planted Substance in, I can't believe it, 2004. Wow. Carolyn, I knew it had been a long time, but you got a big anniversary coming up here. Carolyn's passionate about church leadership, parenting, and marriage. She serves on the executive team at Substance and also serves on the board for One Hope. She travels the world encouraging and equipping church planters and pastors through the Association of Related Churches. She loves being a mom to her three kids, and in her spare time, you can find her with family or shopping for deals online. Andy and Carolyn, welcome back to the show.
Yay. Thank you, Suzy.
Yeah, we love being with you.
Yeah, thank you. I know you guys are busy. It means a lot that you give us some time. Well, as you know, I open the show every day asking you to tell me what the Lord's been talking about. So, Carolyn, let's start with you. What has He been talking about these days?
Yes, I am so excited to unpack actually a scripture that I think, if we're honest, we've all heard, but maybe we don't like. It's one of those scriptures today, so we're going to have fun. It's out of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. So I'm going to read it, and then we're just going to talk about it for a little bit. Dear brothers and sisters, I just love that. Like, hey, we're family. Let's talk about this as a family. Yeah. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Oh, this is so rich. And I know so many of us, we've heard this verse. It's easy to kind of take some of these classic scriptures and just like, yeah. But as I've been meditating on this verse, and I just feel like the best gift I can give my kids or even my church members is a healthy theology of trials and troubles. I mean, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have many troubles. You will have many trials. And so I just feel like, hey, I've got to not just teach how do we respond to trials and hardship, but I need to demonstrate it with my life. I need to live it out and show people through trials and hardships how we can actually, like, what is God doing? And so when I look at this passage, one of the first things I see is, you know, Stephen Covey has this thing where he talks about begin with the end in mind in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And so when I look at the end in mind in this passage of scripture, it is that we would be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So often we focus on trials and hardship, but I just love this idea of like needing nothing. Like what? Like that's the goal. When our endurance is fully developed, we will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You know, I think that's actually what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he's like, I'm content in any and every situation. You know, so I think, okay, if that's the goal, if that's what actually God has for us, is that we could get to a place of needing nothing, how in the world does this happen? Well, according to James, endurance must fully develop. So I'm a mom, I'm thinking about kids, I'm thinking about milestones for kids, and I just think it's, you know, as we think about development in children, or teachers might think about it, you know, adolescence and childhood and toddler development, as a follower of Jesus, we're not born with a fully developed endurance capacity. Like, it's not just given to us. We actually have a baby capacity, and it must grow. It must be fully developed. And I think for some of us, if we're really honest, I think this is helpful for us to hear, because we might realize, oh, I freak out all the time. My endurance capacity is quite low. It's kind of like when you're measuring your muscle tone when you're working out. It's like your core, oh, it's weak. I need to develop my core. I need to meet with a trainer. I need to get physically fit so that I can strengthen my core. I can strengthen my muscles. Well, some of us, we do not have spiritual endurance. We do not have that capacity. And I don't think we're here to, I'm not here to make anyone feel shame about that, but to be aware, hey, let me encourage you. It must grow. God has a development plan for your endurance. So then as we keep looking at this passage, endurance has a chance to grow when our faith is tested. And so that means the only way our endurance is going to develop and grow for us to become mature and complete, not needing anything, is if we have trials. And I just think, man, I don't want to hear that. Like, if I'm honest, I want a trial-free life. I want a pain-free life. I want my kids to have a pain-free life. I don't want to experience any more betrayals. I don't want to experience delays. You know what I mean? So, like, this isn't a word that I, like, want to hear. And I think we do live in this like, facade where it's like we actually think it's possible to have a trial-free life. And we actually think that maybe that's blessing. And this passage is saying, no, actually, there's a plan in the trial. And there's a plan in the hardship.
Let me throw something in there, because I would even go so far as to say we make that our goal.
Yeah.
Like if that becomes the bullseye, we're completely missing the point.
Correct.
Totally.
Correct.
Totally.
And I think what's so interesting is, you know, so how we respond to trials is everything, right? How we respond, which is super ironic, because so often when troubles hit us, come upon us, they happen to us, let's be honest, we feel like we have no choice. We feel like we have no control. Like, it happened to me. Now I'm stuck. I have this trial. I have this hardship, this betrayal, this diagnosis, this delay, whatever detour. But we actually do have a choice. And the choice is how we consider it. And so if I think about consider is what? It's like my thoughts, my emotions. It's like, how am I thinking about hardship? It's a perspective. Do I see it as a disappointment? Do I see it as a delay? Do I see it as a denial? Do I whine? Do I complain? Do I talk about how unfair it is? Do I isolate? Do I hide? I mean, these are all responses that are normal to a hardship or a trial or something we're going through. Or, as James suggests, do we consider it an opportunity for great joy? Mm. And so as I then kept unpacking, I'm like, well, what is an opportunity for great joy? So I was thinking about, like, recently my daughter got married. Well, that's an opportunity for great joy. Like, when we think about milestones, whether it's a baby shower, a wedding, a graduation, a birthday, an anniversary, it's a party. And what do? We invite our friends and family. We eat food. We spend money. We, like, plan. We plan parties. We include our community. We come together. We have hope and joy. That's actually what great, like, an opportunity for great joy. And yet, how many of us have had a party for, you know, the car accident? Do you know what I mean? And when I just had a car accident, my car just got, totaled. Would you just come and this is an opportunity for great joy. Let's actually celebrate together and actually have hope in this situation. Like, that's not our norm.
Yeah. So there is something to celebrate in that. You know what I mean? It's like, and I think that's so important, Carolyn, is that we pull the blessing out of the battle even. I mean, someone might think that's crazy to celebrate. Christians are called to celebrate. I don't think we celebrate enough, truly. Yeah. Where our wins, our victories, our redemptions. And I think about, like, what if you had some of your girlfriends over to say, we're gonna give a thank offering unto God. We're going to have dinner. I'm still here. Yes, my car got totaled. I'm still here. What the enemy meant for evil, it wasn't fulfilled. I mean, I don't know. You got me thinking here.
So, I mean, what if the very strength you need today in your hardship comes through how you consider it? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, if the goal is to become complete and mature, not lacking anything, we think this happens with no trials. Like, we want a trial-free life.
Well, let's think about how people are, and Andy, I'll let you chime in here in just a sec, but people who have the means to try to have a trial-free life, to insulate themselves from any kind of challenge, grow soft and entitled. And they're not shaped and formed. Their character really isn't. They shrivel and they shrink as far as their capacity to show up for other people, because everything is about insulating themselves from trouble. And yet so imagine you got two bullseyes, pain-free, trouble-free life, endurance, perseverance, maturity, lacking nothing. I mean, if we could keep that in front of us, I mean, I think, Andy, even the stories we told ourselves when we encountered trials would change if we, like Carolyn said, had a different end in mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think this is actually one of my favorite passages of scripture. Funnily enough, it was January 1st, 2020, when the Lord gave me, he said, this is your verse of the year. Like, the whole of James 1, I'm going to show you what true joy is. And I was like, I don't like this, Lord.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Can I have another word, please? But I have fallen in love with this too, because I used to get offended. I was like, wait a second. So I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And this says that my faith will be tested. I don't like tests, but it's what it produces in you. And I think, like you're saying, it's like the perspective of the joy and what the trials and the testing produce. And that perseverance, I think this is the biggest thing I've learned. When I'm tested, when my faith, it's like, is what I read what I really believe in the word? Do I truly believe that God is good no matter what I go through? Do I truly believe? Because that is when our faith is tested, right? But those are the moments for me that have always produced that perseverance that brings a completeness and that shalom, that peace that passes all understanding. It makes no sense.
Amen.
So good. I want to ask you both, but I think we'll get one story on this side of the break and another on the other. But I'd love a story from each of your lives about how this has proven true, about how you were called to endure and persevere. And when you look back over your shoulder, you'd say, that thing served me well. I don't want to go through it again, but it sure served me well. Carolyn, any thoughts come to mind?
So many.
Right. Same.
Which hardship should I do? I think I'll share about my son. You know, I've shared this on the show before, but he was diagnosed with epilepsy and just the different seizures that he's had. What I've watched in him, it has caused such a depth of faith. It has caused him to face fear of death. It has caused him to go deeper in his belief in God and his love for God. And I just look back and go, I am so thankful for what it has produced in my son as a teenager and his trust in the Lord and his love for God because of the pain that we've had to endure as a family. And then the other thing that it's produced in us is we've been able to help so many other people. You know, the prayers of the saints have helped us. And then as we navigate hardship together publicly, we're able to encourage others as well. And we've been able to encourage other people whose kids have had seizures, and we can relate and we can understand and we can speak to it and share wisdom. And so it just makes me personally very thankful for the hardship.
And you're so good at, I mean, you summarize so succinctly, but underneath all of that summary is a mom who is watching her son every minute, needing to, because you don't know when he's going to have a seizure and when he's going to fall, if he's going to hurt himself. I mean, what you went through is so significant. I want friends to know that. So this is not something you skated through. This took you to the depths.
Right.
And here you are on the other side now with even a deeper empathy for those who suffer, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Really honor that, the way you walk through that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Andy, I'd love for you to answer the question as well. Just pick a story. I know it's almost like you could pick a trial, but pick one and tell me how it served you well. And friends, I would love to hear from you as well. First of all, feel free at any time to text an amen when you hear something that encourages you. But I'd love to know for you, in your story, tell me about a time where you had to persevere. You had to endure, but you say, you know what? It changed me. It transformed my character. It matured me. Text me, 877-933-2484. More with the Bible Talk team in a moment. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about faith, you can text the word faith to 41224. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. If you listen often enough, you know every month we do what we call the Bible Talk Team, where we have Andy, Andrew, Carolyn Haas, and Irene Rollins on the show. And we just do a roundtable discussion about what God's been talking to us about. We dig into Scripture together. It's always a fun conversation. Irene is out today, so it's just Andy, Carolyn, and me. And Carolyn was just sharing from James 1, a passage, as she says, we like to skip over, but it's so core and foundational to our maturity, to our development as Christians. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When your faith is tested, not if, when it is, there's an opportunity there for your endurance to grow. So let it grow. For when endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Okay, Andy, I asked both of you to share just one of your trials from your story that has actually served you well.
Oh man, yeah, I went through the list, and I think one of the core ones that really sticks with me, and it's probably because it's one of those ones where the mom guilt is one of those things that at times I still have to push back down, would be when I had three kids under the age of three, and now they're all older, and I'm starting to see some of the issues that are coming up for them from when I was so broken in raising them. And so I think for me that the trial and the perseverance were those years when I had these three little toddlers attached to my hip, and I was in the middle of a breakdown and I wasn't doing well. And I was still trying to lead and love Jesus and asking that question of like, I've read the whole Bible. Why am I not free? And went through a huge season of really finding deliverance and wholeness and freedom, and then needing to repair the relationships around me. But I think in those moments when it gets really dark for us in those seasons, those are the moments where you just want to give up or give in. But the choice to persevere actually produced the fruit of me becoming mature and complete in Christ, not lacking anything and having more to give to my family. And now that I've got these beautiful teenagers who are growing and like falling in love with Jesus themselves and seeing these beautiful miracles in their own lives, I just thank God that I didn't give up or step back or do the dramatic things in my head. Because I think in those dark, hard seasons, there are a lot of dramatic things that run through your head. And if you continue to be in the Word, if you continue to get on your knees, if you continue to surrender, if you continue to persevere, which perseverance is produced in the testing, but perseverance is also that choice, right? And that's the thing, to keep showing up, to keep leaning in, even though it's difficult and you're like, I hope this is working. I can look back now years in that I'm just so grateful. Like, I'm just not the same person. I even read the words of some of my books and I'm like, I can't believe that's who I was. Wow, Jesus really works. So does his word.
I love it.
And I just am so grateful. And I have more that God's healing me in even now, which is so cool. Same. As you continue to lean in, you know?
I love you so much, Andy. I love you so much. I love that you're so no, really, I do. And I so appreciate your raw honesty and vulnerability. That really is what we try to do on this show every day. My second question to both of you is, well, what about a time when you didn't do it well, when you fell down? And so you kind of answered that already, that you're seeing God's redemption in it anyway. Yeah. I think that's just so important, because we do show up broken. And I think every one of us, especially when you're young and you have kids young, you know, you're like a baby having babies. There's so much grace from God, because we are just fumbling our way through. But any other thoughts around that? Because I love that you're really leaning into his grace and his capacity to redeem as you're pressing in and not giving up and quitting.
Well, I think for me, and I'll be really quick here. I was even just sitting around a table with my brother and sister-in-law last weekend, just eating breakfast together. And he's such a good little big brother, you know, and just someone who's done life with you and speaks truth to you. And I was just processing even some of my failures that I just felt like, you know, ashamed of. Like, I'm like, gosh, I failed at this and I failed at that and I could have done better. And just sitting with people that love you, that will lay hands on you and pray for you and go, yep, but you can just repent and ask for God's forgiveness and then continue to build and move forward. So I would say in those moments where you feel shame come in, or you feel like I'm such a failure, I haven't got this right. Like, this is why his mercy is new every morning. This is why his grace is sufficient. And even I just, this new revelation of reading the prodigal son, and I could weep, but like, in both instances, the father ran out. He ran out to the one who has lived a shameful life and basically wanted his father dead. And he ran out to his son who said, but dad, like, I've tried to do everything perfectly, but he wouldn't come in the house. And the father is always saying, come in the house, come inside, you belong here, but he comes to you. And I think that's what I realized, even in my failure or performance issues, whether, trying to get everything right and finding that I fail because I'm not perfect, the father still runs out to us and grabs us and says, come inside, all that I have is yours. And so just continually learning to walk in that every year.
So beautiful. So good. Anything you want to add, Carolyn, about even just times when you look back in that same way where the enemy could level an accusation, but you're totally trusting his grace and goodness?
I think for me, when I've had trials and responded poorly, it is I've gone into hiding. I've gone into insecurity. I've gone into I'm bad. I'm a bad leader. I'm wrong. I broke that. I can't. Do you know what I mean? And
yep.
And so I think it's important. I love even, Andy, how you shared how you confessed it to godly people and they prayed for you and spoke life over you. And I think we have to be able to confess the lies, the myths, the fears, yes, the insecurities, the shame, whatever it is that we're feeling, even in our responses to hardship and trial, even our anger that we might feel, and just go, I feel this, but it's kind of like the guy who admitted, I have unbelief, but help me with my unbelief, Jesus.
Yes.
And so I think it's like, I feel this way towards this hardship and trial. I'm feeling angry or I'm feeling insecure, but help me. And I think we have to invite God's word. We have to invite godly mentors and people into our lives to say, what am I not seeing? Help speak life into me. Because even later in that chapter, James 1, 14 and 15, James actually says, do not be misled. And he's talking about God, like your view of God in the current hardship that you're going, don't be misled, which means it's easy to be misled about how you view God during hardship.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think it's so interesting too. Scripture talks about confess your sins to God that you'd be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another that you'd be healed. Confess to one another and be healed. And I think even not only confessing the lies you believe, but confessing the truth about who you are.
Yeah.
Jamie Winship is on once a month, and he talks about the power of confession in community, in safe, godly community, saying, I want to be real with you, but I'm afraid you'll go away if you find out who I really am. I mean, to be able to have people in your circle that you can be honest with as you're persevering through a trial. If I could reference another one of our amazing, brilliant guests, Dr. Kurt Thompson, he says, you've got to have people who say, I'm not leaving the room. When your messy life shows, I'm not leaving the room. And you've got to have people who have their own kind of endurance so they can endure with you. And I would submit we can't really become all that God wants us to be without some people like that who not only endure in their own trials, but they'll endure with us too. What do you guys think?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Amen, preach it.
I mean, amen, yeah. I think that's probably been the thing that has brought, besides your repentance and confession to God, being able to have people that you repent and confess to that come near to you and don't turn their back on you, is actually healing for the seasons where there has been betrayal and people have turned their backs on you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
To go, oh, there are people that exist in family, friends, like people within the body of Christ. Just makes me think of the book you recommended to me. Carolyn, oh my gosh.
you got to tell us now.
Okay, go ahead, Carolyn. You have to say it.
The book that's changing my life right now is Dr. Henry Cloud's newest book called Trust. And it is ridiculous. It's a must read for every human on the planet. Like it's,
really?
And I'm telling you, buy it. Don't get the audio, buy it and write in it and underline it. It's so good.
Yeah, I stayed up way too late one night reading it. But I think what it is showing to me too is kind of the essence of what we're talking about godly community, confession, people. It's like we have a longing to trust people, to actually do life with people, but often it's been broken. So when you find those people that pull you close and speak truth to you and love you and continue to walk with you through every season, there is nothing like it. Nothing like it.
So true. We got just a few minutes before we go to our bottom of the hour breaks. I don't want to interrupt you, Andy, and give you full space and time to share what God's showing you. But I want to read this text that came in from this dear listener. She says, her trial is there's another woman in her marriage. She's been fighting for her marriage and family for the past 2 years. It's been the darkest valley of the shadow of death, truly. But it's brought her to her knees and into Jesus' arms. The refinery God has put me through and the woman I'm becoming might not have happened without this trauma. I'm unexplainably grateful. And get this, my unconditional love for my husband and children keeps growing. I can't wait to celebrate the victory of my husband coming home and our marriage flourishing, this time with God at the helm. Anything either one of you want to say to her? Wow.
Wow. Well, I think that's beautiful. And I think, you know, if we're honest, when a trial comes, we actually believe it's going to take away from us, that it hurts us or it hurts our children. We believe it will add to our need, like it will increase our neediness, not actually complete us or benefit us. And so I think as a follower of Jesus, I would, you know, what I'm hearing this woman share and testify is that, you know, instead of praying for God to change our situation, it's praying, Lord, what do you want to grow in me? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to learn? What are you producing in me? How do you want to provide for me? Because God, you're a provider. So if I'm going through this hardship, oh, how do you want to provide for me? How do you want to protect me? If I'm feeling unprotected, how do you want to protect me, God? If I'm feeling unloved, God, how do you want to show love to me? And so I think it's taking that thing that you feel and bringing it to the Lord and saying, how do you want to meet that need in my life?
Yeah. Boy. And I just... Oh, do we need to go to break?
No, go ahead. No, please go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, this is part of my family story, my parents' story, but in reverse. And my parents are married to this day and have a beautiful reconciliation testimony. And so I want to encourage you as you continue to be obedient to Christ and keep your heart tender. Like, I just am so excited to hear the testimony of reconciliation and healing. So I just, more than anything, I just want to encourage you and thank you for sharing with us.
So good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Andy Andrew will share what the Lord's been talking to her about. Isn't it amazing? You know, we give a few minutes at the open of every show to answer that question, but when you give some space and give it room to breathe, we've talked for a half hour about one passage from Scripture from James 1. I think it's 3 verses, something like that. Wow. Wait till you hear what we're going to talk about next. More with the Bible Talk team in just a moment. You're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We have our Bible Talk team today. It's a roundtable discussion with some author speaker friends of mine. Irene Rollins is usually here on the Bible Talk team. She's out today, but Andy Andrew and Carolyn Haas are here. And Carolyn just really unpacked a powerful passage from James chapter 1, just a few verses about considering it joy and allowing our endurance and perseverance to mature us. And we talked about just the idea that when your goal is a trouble-free life, a pain-free life, you'll not only be perpetually disappointed, you'll always miss the mark. It'll make you soft. If you even remotely achieve a trouble-free life, near impossible, it will wreck you. But to mature, to persevere, to become like Christ, to dare to learn lessons in your trials, that will transform you. Okay, Andy, you want to stay in the book of James, but you're jumping ahead to another chapter. Talk to us.
Yes, I'm going to James 4 today. And, you know, I've really been studying, considering, thinking about submission to Christ, submission to godly authority, and what that actually looks like and what it produces in our lives. And I think for me, it's being now I pastored a church, so I was a leader of a church, and now I'm submitted to godly authority again, but also the fruit of submission and what happens. And so it's kind of like a dirty word in our society these days, but it's actually a beautiful word when we understand it. So if it's okay, I would like to read a chunk of scripture and then just break down the end really quickly. So I'm going to read James. Is that okay?
Yes, please. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm going to read James 4, 1 through 10. And the subheading is submit yourselves to God. So it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Your desire, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. And that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And then I love these moments that are in the Bible that are so intense. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell within us, but he gives us more grace? This is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. I'm almost done. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I think it's interesting too. A lot of times we'll say that part, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I'm like, time out. Mm-hmm. We actually have to be fully submitted to Christ to have authority to resist the devil. And so, I mean, this is like popping up everywhere for me in scripture right now. It says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So for me, what's so interesting is this is part of a passage of scripture that I was just recently with our worship team, preaching to them, teaching with them, praying over them. And this was the scripture that I just knew I was supposed to share, which seems pretty intense. But, you know, one of the markers of our church as I have watched is the humility in the leadership and humility in the worship team. And I just sensed that the Lord was like, share with them to protect humility. So it started here. There's a few other passages that I shared, like in 1 Peter, but God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So for me, I started to ask myself, am I in opposition to God in any area of my life? And because I know that if he shows favor or grace to the humble, I don't want to be in resistance or in a place where I am opposed by the Lord. So I want to choose to humble myself. And the biggest thing out of this too is I've had many people, doesn't mean we're not going to once again face trial or difficult situations, but the where we submit our lives in the middle even of those trials and those tests actually shows us and helps us to have the authority that we have. Even I'll cross-reference in Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva. It's so interesting there how they attempted, they were itinerant Jewish exorcists. They were attempting to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you by the name that Paul preaches. And that evil spirit answered them saying, you know what? I know Jesus and I recognize Paul, but who are you? And I was like, oh my gosh, in my life, when I'm stepping out into the battlefield in certain situations, in prayer and all of the things that God has called me to, I never want to be in a place where my life is not submitted. Because that's what I asked even when I read in Acts 19. I was like, God, why did they not know their name? And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, because they weren't submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I just sense in this day and hour, even as we're going to be going into another election year, you know, the start of this passage is what causes fights and quarrels among you. You're going to be going into Thanksgiving and Christmas with your family. Like, are our lives, like every area of our lives, submitted to God? Or are there certain areas that we don't want to submit to him because he'll ask us to do things that we don't want to do with it, where we're going to need to be obedient if we submit it? And so we need to submit because then we can resist the enemy and then we purify our hearts and we repent. And then it's always better if we can humble ourselves instead of being humbled. Because if there is any pride in us, the Lord loves us too much to allow us to walk in pride. Either he will resist us. So if you're feeling an unnatural level of resistance, just ask yourself if there are any areas of your life right now, you're like, gosh, am I operating in pride in any areas, Lord? Where do I need to submit myself? Where do I need to lay things down? Where do I need to humble myself? I think a lot of times our goal is the second half of that scripture, and he will lift you up. That can never be the goal. The goal is to be humbly submitted to him. And so anyway, I think just in the day and hour that we're in, like that the church, that the bride would protect humility and stay on our knees and stay submitted to God, and we will walk in greater authority. So that's just kind of what he's speaking to me about. There's a few other things too, but we'll stop right there.
Wow, so good. Carolyn, any thoughts?
Well, I love it. Yes, it's so good. I think it's a freaky thought. Like, what does it look like to have the God of the universe opposing you? Do you know what I mean? Sure. Like, that's intense. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I just think our job is to humble ourselves, like you said, and like James says, and then God's job is to lift us up in honor. The other thought that comes to mind with this passage is, I love that it says you don't get what you want because your motives are wrong. Yeah. And I just think... I think that then says to me, I think of the scripture, oh God, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Do you know what I mean? So that I think I would want to, my prayer, and that's part of submission, is to go, God, are my motives even correct? Like, what's my motive for even praying this, for even asking this, for even desiring this? And so submitting my motives and my desires to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. Because that scripture right there too, right? That's when David was repenting of his sin and humbling himself. So, that's really good.
You know, I think it too, it's so important that to know that God never humiliates his children, but he does humble us, you know, because he's not punitive towards his children. Jesus paid for our sin, but he also will not be mocked. You know, what we sow is what we grow. And if we keep turning a blind eye and we've are living in opposition, we may humiliate ourselves. He will allow us, you know, one of our old guests, who was it? Ron Rhodes, I think it was, our Bible answer guy a long time ago, used to say, first, he'll turn the light up. And if you're not responding to light, he'll turn the heat up, you know? So he did, but it's because he loves us and he wants to draw us back to himself. And, but I think it's so interesting because you might have this perpetual battle back even to what you were talking about, Carolyn, about letting these trials, letting your endurance and perseverance do its work in you. You know, you might be used to one kind of battle and then be, you know, completely flabby over here, like no muscle memory over here, because you're used to this battle. Then you get poked at and you realize, there's some pride there or impatience there. And it's just, I think that's God's way of training us for battle. You know, it's in Psalm 18, he strengthens my arms to bend a bow of bronze. You know, he makes my feet walk on high places like a deer. That speaks of spiritual agility, uneven terrain, able to move here and move there, take fire and take guard while all of your circumstances aren't lining up in a nice row for you. You're not in ideal circumstances, but you still keep your footing. I feel like both of these two passages work together in that we can't walk on those high places without absolute humility and dependence on God, you know?
Yeah, can I say one more thing too? I was thinking about too, I know I use the word submission because that is what keeps us humble, but like submission is a dirty word in our culture, yet I thought about it. We're all submitting to something, right? We're submitting to our private addiction, or we're submitting to our worries and fears, or we're submitting to control, or we're submitting to the fear of man, or we're submitting to shame. But when we realize it's like, wow, I'm laying down my life for something else other than laying down my life for Jesus in this area of my life. And it's interesting that in 1 Peter 2, it does talk about God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And that's the one where it says, be alert and of sober mind, because the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. It's all connected to submission and humility. And I have this amazing story that we probably don't have time with about my son and a lion, but I really saw kind of how that operated as I watched him when we were in Africa and he was a tiny little guy.
I think I'm going to have you tell that story. We got about 3 minutes, but I want to say I did a word study on James 4:7, submit to God. And in that, when that word in that verse, it's a military term and it means get back in rank. Mm. And and you can't have authority unless you're under authority. And so it really is like, I hear people too all the time quote that passage, just resist the devil if he's bugging you. It's like, that doesn't work. We usurp authority all the time. We pick apart our pastor, or we harbor, you know, a grudge, or we gossip and we think it's without consequence. It, you know, you give the enemy legal right and access to attack you. So you've got to get back in rank. But anyway, let's see here. Can you tell the lion story in 2 minutes?
Yeah, I totally can. Although I'm just like listening to you, my mind's pinging, but... So yes, when I took Jesse, our second born, to Zimbabwe when he was 5 years old. And I remember we went to a lion feeding, and the lions, they hadn't fed him for a week. And it was this scripture came alive to me, because we were all the taller ones, but the head of the pride of lions, wherever our tiny little boy, if he would walk apart from us, that lion would follow him. And then the rest of the pride followed, and they kept following him. And what I realized is, when you are separate, when you are in a place of isolation, when you are not completely submitted or under authority, or, you know, in rank, if you will, that is when the enemy comes to pick you off. And so I saw it as, it was kind of a terrifying picture watching that lion follow my son, because he was the easiest to get. And I think for us to remember that even what you just said about rank and file, that Jesus is not just our Savior, He is our Lord, and He is worthy of falling in rank and file of. And there, whatever areas of your life where He is not Lord, but you just want Him to be Savior, that's where there's misalignment. And you will be able to walk in more authority when you can get in place.
Amen. And with that misalignment comes legal access once again. You know, where the enemy has a legal right and a legal access, because if he's not Lord, the enemy can get in there. And I think that's why, to me, my first line of defense always is, search me, oh God. Know my heart. Show me. Because we don't always see what we need to see. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about, I'm going to look at a passage from Hebrews 11. And great, great conversation with our Bible Talk team, Andy Andrew and Pastor Carolyn Haas. So good. And we miss you, Irene. We love you if you're listening. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Bill Arnold. I know you're enjoying listening to Suzy Larson Live right now, and you've made it a priority to do so. That's smart. I would really like you to listen to my podcast. So after you have fed the dog, walked the dog, and played fetch with the dog, you can tune in to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Also, if you don't have a dog, well, I just saved you lots of time.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Today it's Bible Talk Team Day, where we have a roundtable discussion with some author speaker friends. We've got Carolyn Haas and Andy Andrew with me today. And Carolyn came with James chapter 1, a few verses. And Andy talked out of verses in James chapter 4. I want to take a quick look at Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read, like Andy did, a chunk of scripture, give you my thoughts, and then I'd love to hear yours. We only got a few minutes left here. Faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. I'm going to jump down a little bit. Let's see here. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world and received the righteousness that comes by faith. Hang with me. I'm almost done here. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home, to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And then talks about how Sarah was able to have a child in her old age because she believed God, and a whole nation came from them, like that, more than the stars in the sky. Listen to this. All these people died still believing what God promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners, nomads on the earth. And then it says, obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. And what I'm seeing here, like Noah, is builds this ark to prepare for an event he's never seen before. But then he saw the event he's never seen before. Abraham prepared, you know, followed God to a place he'd never been. You know, he left his dad. His father was an idolater. He left everything he knew, and he went to this new land. He actually arrived there. He lived there as a foreigner. He actually had the son that was promised. But even so, Scripture says, these people never received what was promised. And this is my insight as I was thinking about this. First of all, God wants to do always something new that's never been done before. But secondly, any answer that we get in the land of the living is in seed form of things to come. You know, you think about when the Scripture says that Abraham didn't receive what God had promised, well, he sort of did. He went to the land that God told him he would go to, but even there he lived as a foreigner. He sort of did because he did have his son Isaac, but he didn't get to see so many descendants that they outnumbered the stars in the sky. And to me, this is a picture. It reminds me of a quote, and this is my paraphrase, but C.S. Lewis wrote some great insight once. He said, if you look to this life to basically have all of your desires tied up in a nice bow, you will be perpetually disappointed. But if you look to the next life for your whole story to be redeemed, you will live this life in perpetual awe and wonder. Because you think about it, he's so good to give us answers in the land of the living. But the thing is, these people, they didn't even consider the immediate answer for relief. I want to have a son. I want to go to this land you're telling me. They saw that this was a seed form, and they welcomed the bigger story from a distance. They lived in their place of promise as a foreigner just passing through. That's the thing that I've just been thinking about so much, is that if our only bent is relief and not redemption, we're living short-sighted. If our only bent is a break from this circumstance and not a breakthrough, we're living as citizens of earth and not citizens of heaven. But if every answer that comes, we say, this is awesome, you know, like your son, Eden, has been seizure-free for so long. That is an answer to prayer, but it's seed form to what we're going to see in heaven when we see what his faith has accomplished in substance, at Substance Church. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like God wants us to step into the bigger story of who we are because of who he is. And that rocks my world. And I want to live as a foreigner that way. And I want to look at every answer to my prayers as a seed form of something that is to come.
Mm. It's so good.
Any thoughts? I welcome them.
Yeah. Well, can I share something from today? Actually, I was having a conversation with a friend and realizing that, you know, we pastored a church. Like, I was thinking about the things that you pray for that are in seed form that you are hoping that you get to see the full fruit of, but that's not necessarily promised. Like it says in the passage of scripture that you read. And so as we transitioned our church in New York to two of our friends that are taking it forward in this season and doing such a magnificent job, we recently, a couple of days ago, got a text from them. And I just wept because I was like, oh my gosh, they are seeing some of the things that Paul and I never saw, that we only dreamt of, that we hoped that we would put our hand to, that we believed that we would be able to build as we pastored Liberty Church in New York City. And it just wasn't ever the grace that was on us. It was vision that we had, and it was what we prayed for, but never something that we saw come to fruition. And so got this long text from Pastor David, just thanking us and listing these things. And we both just were undone, going, wow, it really is about his kingdom come and his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It really is bigger. All the things that we see tangibly before our very own eyes, like if we can just trust God once again and submit it all to him and go, God, I'm just yours, whatever you want to do. But it was like, those selfish things that I wanted to see and I wanted to do, but God is like, this is bigger and it's about me and it's eternal. And I'm like, okay. So it's just been really cool to see, hard and cool all at the same time.
Wow. So good. Carolyn, thoughts?
You know, I think about Jesus and I just think for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, and he had a bigger picture. And why does Scripture constantly tell us, look at things above, not on earthly things, look above, look at heaven, like have an eternal view? You know, Paul got to the point where he's like, whether I live or whether I die, I actually don't care. And he wasn't suicidal and depressed in that sense. He was literally like, whatever God needs for his kingdom to move forward, if it means I'm in heaven, awesome. If it means I'm still on earth, then God has mission for me to do. And I think we have to get to a place in our life where we have to stop thinking our life is our own. Because Scripture, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Do you know what I mean? Yet we have this entitlement here on earth that, but God, you know, use me, but don't actually use me. You know what I mean? Like, because then I feel used. You know what I mean? And, I can't tell you how many people like pray against death. And I have to like, do you know that death is actually God's will? Like Hebrews says it is destined that man should die once and then face judgment. Like, we're one out of one are dying. Do you know what I mean? And yet we think we're entitled to not die.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We are foreigners, friends. We're foreigners passing through, and it's time to go. Boy, the time went by fast. Andy, Carolyn, thank you for the time today. Great conversation.
We love you. Thank you.
Love you guys so much. And we love you as well. Thanks for tuning in. I really pray you found some encouragement here today. The Word of God is alive, active, powerful. Stay in the Word. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.